Welcome to Outbound, where we talk about how people that do business development in consulting and professional services can build deeper relationships with their ideal customers. Now, today's episode is going to be a little bit different than normal. At Proofpoint Marketing, we run another show called Relationship-Led Growth, and we recently had Brian Walsh from Force Management join me, Joseph Lewin, and our CEO, Mike Grinberg, on our show to talk about the importance of alignment within your organization for growth. And we also talked about how it's vital for salespeople to be able to build alignment within an organization that you're selling into if you want to ultimately be able to sell your services. Brian shared some ultra practical ways for salespeople to be able to equip prospects to bring alignment and sell internally to be able to bring you in. I know you're really going to enjoy this part of the conversation. If you want to hear the full conversation with Brian Walsh, go to Proofpoint Marketing's LinkedIn page and you'll find the LinkedIn Live episode there.
If you're going to really create alignment inside of a potential client's organization, that means everybody, and we were talking about this before, right? Everybody inside of your organization's got to be able to go carry that mantle on their own, right? I mean, I'm sure you guys do too. We work with organizations and sometimes there are three people in the decision process. Other times there are 30, right? And when they're the bigger that group gets, the more apt I versus one of our salespeople versus one of our consultants, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, are apt to be in a, you know, more likely we are to be in a meeting by ourselves. And we have to know that everybody in our company who's having these individual conversations with a larger with a group who eventually is going to end up in a room together without us there, right? That there's commonality of message and how we speak and the fact that we understand that this is about helping the client get to a collective yes.
The two things you said there are, I think, really important to emphasize is this organizational alignment of the bigger the company gets, like every person matters because every person is going to have a conversation at some point with a client or prospect. And then this idea of there's going to be a conversation. The most important conversation happens without you in the room. You're not going to be there. You're not going to get a chance to be there and influence that. Like you've done everything you can to influence a decision. That's it. Like that conversation now happens without you there.
Here's a great example of that. I was in a room a few years ago with 500 salespeople and solutions architects, et cetera. And this organization has a group of former C-level IT and IT security leaders. And we were having this very conversation about the collective yes and alignment across a company. And it's okay, you can enter an opportunity anywhere, but your job is to not live in that person's office, but to expand, you know, the whole conversation across every different perspective. And he stood up and he grabbed the microphone and he said, listen, I think you know, as salespeople, that when an organization that's got 6, 8, 10 people involved in a buying decision goes through that process, that you know that everybody's got a different role. You know that they have, they enter and exit at different times. You know they all have different perspectives. You know all that. He said, you even know that eventually we start to get together without you in the room to make decisions. He said, but here's what I'm afraid you don't know. And the room got really quiet, me included, which is hard. And he says, what I'm afraid you don't know is that 90% of the time when we get together over the during a buying decision, early, mid, or late, and choose to do nothing and move on to another topic, he said, 90% of the time, that's because the 10 or 12 people in the room can't get to a collective yes. And then he said this, what I need you to understand is it's the best salespeople, anyone who's, and then he said, anybody who's customer facing, it's the best salespeople who have the backbone to look whoever they're in the eye. And then he pointed at me and say what that guy just said, which is, look, whoever I'm in front of, I'm going to help them see that there's a bigger picture so that if they start to, you know, give me the Heisman and, you know, like keep me away from other people in their organization or whatever game they may play or not play, I can look them in the eye and say, listen, Mike, whether you do business with us or not, that's not the question to be answered. The question to be answered is how do you and the other 6 or 8 or 10 people, we're in these conversations every day. We know there's 6, 8 or 10 of you involved. How do you get to a collective yes? I'm not trying to go around you or over you. I'm trying to go with you. because I won't dishonor them if they're not in the room, and I won't dishonor you if I'm in a meeting and you're not there. My job is to help all of you get to the right outcome. If I'm the right choice, I'm in. If I'm not, I'll know before you do, and I'll look you in the eye and I'll tell you, and I might actually be able to give you some good advice on the other side. Now, that was a lot, but that's like the reality is, I think you've got to be able to look people in the eye and say, look, I am here to help all of you get to the outcome that matters. Because I actually think that's a qualification moment as much as anything else. Because if you're not up for that conversation, if you still push back on me, well, that tells me I may not disqualify the opportunity, but I might disqualify you, right? I might realize, okay, this person isn't up for change. He's not going to support change, but this is still an important thing for his organization. So I'm going to have to go find some other ways to talk to people. That's the other thing that's going on here.
And the question for me in those situations is, why are they pushing back? Right? What did we put in front of them that's not allowing them to do so? And I think, again, this is where maybe getting into some more of the tactical stuff makes sense, is this kind of connecting the dots between this de-risking thing, right? It's in the alignment side, it's not like they know that this is a problem. Nobody goes into a buying decision because just for the hell of it, right? They know there's an issue that supposedly needs solving. Whether they're going to take action on it or not, who knows, right? So the de-risking side again goes into, well, do I believe that you're going to do what you say you're going to do, and that this is actually going to solve my problem the way that I see my problem? And that means on the front end, you need to have alignment across, I mean, really the entire organization. We can get into a couple of different subsets of that in a second. But again, what problem are we solving in detail?
Oh, there it is. That's the first question.
What are we actually solving? How do we solve it? And how can we prove that we are good at solving it? Because that last part is like the first two get you in the door. That last one gets you through the door.
Gets it over the line. Yeah, it gets it over the line, right? And it's boy, you just brought up, well, you know, that's where we live, right? That our whole world is about helping people have conversations. You know, methodology is one thing, but methodology is really hard to execute if you don't know how it aligns with the industry that you serve, right? So what we are big on is saying, okay, that's good. Methodology is great. You got to have something you can fall back on to save yourself if you don't have a lot of specific knowledge, but at least you can have a good conversation. But it's in the content that's specific to your industry, to the questions you just asked. What are the problems that we solve? And if I can start every conversation there, A, I can force you to choose the topic that you care about. B, now we're into the conversation that matters, and you're opening up the door to, and you're just by choosing the topic, you're giving me more right to go wider and deeper in the conversation than I would have, and help you think about the other people alignment, right? That we are going to have to engage. You're giving me the right to add points of view about things we've seen other people do, not products we've seen them buy, but, you know, challenges we've seen them try to solve, outcomes we've seen them drive to, so that I can then start to influence, well, what's really required to build the bridge that you thought was like this wide, but it's actually this wide. And I'm giving you a better chance of building that bridge because I'm helping you think through it, not just from your perspective, but multiples. Now, the other thing you mentioned is where I enter. Like a lot of times, no matter what we do for a living, we're entering buying decisions at a mid to lower level in a customer's organization, right? Like, when's the last time your first call was with a company CEO? It's just, especially if you're a salesperson, quote unquote, right? So we're big believers that you should take the access you can get. I'll take the access, but I'm also not going to set up camp in your office. And through the conversations we have, I'm going to help you realize that there are other people that you and I need to go get to. I know we talked about that, but more importantly, I'm going to help you realize that no matter where you sit in the organization, if you're only looking at this conversation from your perspective, you're missing a lot of stuff that other people care about, whether they're above you or below you. And here's the example that I think always rings true when I'm in a group with sellers and their entire teams, because every salesperson in the world has dealt with this. They've had a really good conversation with Joseph. Joseph is more of a technical kind of buyer. He cares about who we're going to buy from. He may have some sense of the problem that we're trying to help Mike and the leadership team solve for, but this happens all the time. We give Joseph our proposal because he's the one that's got to take it over to Mike. And we're sitting at our desk waiting for a phone call on how the meeting went. And the phone call often goes like this. Joseph calls the salesperson and says, hey, good meeting with my boss, but Mike's got a bunch of questions I got to go get the answers to. And the reason that happens is because as salespeople, we fail Joseph. We send Joseph upstairs to go have an economic buying conversation, and he's having it from a technical or a product level. So Joseph and Mike aren't meeting on a level playing field. As a seller, I've got to help Joseph realize that when you carry that message forward, we have to help you carry it in the language that Mike cares about. What's this going to do for the business? How do we know it's going to do it? And to your point, how sure are you that these guys from Force Management can deliver? That's very different than Joseph, here's why you should buy from us.
Yep.
So and what I'm doing in that sales conversation is I'm creating alignment.
And you're creating value for the person that you're working with, because you're helping them level up how they're viewing the problem. And if you can help them present the problem aligned with company, you know, again, going back to business objectives, value creation, and you're helping them do that, you're helping them get a promotion in their organization. You're helping them get future opportunities and like be able to think differently. So you're actually adding an incredible amount of value to that other person as well. One question
That's
I have
a great
is
point. That's a great point.
Just to make this like super tactical, what are some of the things that you recommend doing to help equip the person on the other end prepare for that conversation? Because if they've never done that before, you know, you're talking about getting access at the right level. So then if you're going to do that, sometimes you're going to get in with somebody who's never had that conversation before.
Yeah.
And they go, hey, I know we have this problem. Leadership doesn't really recognize it, but I know that this is really causing an issue for the delivery team. I've tried bringing it up. It's not working. So I don't even see the value in going further with this unless, you know, something changes. How do you help that person now take that to the next level?
I think there are three things you have to be good at. And by the way, there are no silver bullets in this life, right? But if you're really good at this, these three things, I think you'll be in a better position to identify whether or not this is a real opportunity for us in the first place. The first thing you have to do is you have to have content that is specific to your marketplace, right? It ain't no good if I know all about cybersecurity if I'm talking to somebody who lives in the MarTech space, right? And they're helping organizations connect with customers through their apps on their iPhones. Like, I know that sounds obvious, but it happens all the time. Organizations give, and I, listen, when I first got out of college, I got spin selling training, which was great, but nobody helped me at first take it and apply it to our business, our marketplace, the products I was selling and the problems it solved, et cetera. So that's the first thing. You've got to give people relevant content, not scripts. Like, I don't mean you give people scripts, but you give people really good content that a well-trained, prudent salesperson knows how to use, right? That's the first thing. The second thing I think you got to do, and that goes back to what Mike talked about. What problems do we solve? How do we solve them? How do we solve them better? What's our proof? That's the kind of content you got to give people. The second thing I think you got to give people is you have to give them, well, let me start with where most of us as sellers have been at some point in our life. Most of us, me included, would go into an organization and say, hey, can you walk me through your decision process? Well, I got bad news for you. 90% of people don't know their decision process, and the other 10% don't care or don't want to tell you. Like, right? You know, that's a little flip, but you get the point. So my point of view is, why are we asking customers about that when we probably know the decision process in our space better than they do anyhow? How many times do your customers, whatever you do for a living, how often does that given customer buy that thing? Once every 3 years, once every 6 months, whatever it is. So I'm a big believer, you should give your people a really tight point of view that they can use visually or verbally or on the back of a barroom napkin that says, hey, first time I meet you, Joseph, here's what we've learned. When we meet someone who's a director of growth and we're having this kind of conversation for their business, we know that the following four or five or six other roles are going to show up. How do you and I start to think about in an appropriate time and place? Not right now. We're not going to run down the hall. But now what have I done? I've done two things. One, I've made it clear to you, listen, I need you to know that I know that you know that I know that this is how these things get done, whether you buy from us or not. So I'm actually removing that potential objection of you trying to not let me go talk to people by at least saying to you, I already know who these other people are. But more importantly, to your point that you've now made a couple of times, I'm helping you. I'm helping you realize, hey, Joseph, whether you buy from us or not, these are the other people that are going to have to be in the room. And it's all six or seven of those perspectives that are going to matter. So that's the second thing I think you got to be really good at. You do those two things really well. Now you're arming people to go have conversations with customers from a discovery perspective that go wider and deeper, attached to the business, and allow you to start to influence with points of view and stories on how people are thinking. And then here's the third thing you got to do, I think. I think you've got to be really good at looking Joseph in the eye at some point and say, okay, so Joseph, you and I both know you're going to go see Mike next Tuesday with this proposal. Let's get in a conference room and I'm going to sit in Mike's chair and you're going to present to me. There's got to be a way for you to help Joseph get ready. By the way, it's another test, right? I'm testing, are you up for that conversation? Are you ready for that conversation? Can you carry the water for us when we're not there? Will you carry the water for us when we're not there? So in my mind, those are the big three. There's probably 20 things, but if I could have three things, if I could have every business development person, salesperson, whatever, who represents organization do really well, it's those three things.